Good morning, and welcome to another in our series of mini shiurim on the Book of Ezra. We're learning in the merit of the IDF, Israel's emergency services, the hostages, and the injured. And we are at the end of Perek Vav. We're at the end of Chapter 6. The Jews have now built the second Beis HaMikdash. They dedicated it in Adar. They celebrated through the month of Adar. And then they arrived at Pesach. And last time we saw the beginning of their celebration of Pesach. We looked in particular at Divrei Hayamim Beis, chapter 30, in which Chizkiyahu held a great Korban Pesach as part of his reforms in the first Beis HaMikdash, but we saw that they ran into trouble. Specifically, we saw that they had trouble getting everybody to prepare themselves and to become Tahor, and we saw that they did this in the second month. And we gave different explanations for what that meant. Either it meant that it was actually the second month and he had them do Pesach Sheni, which would be inappropriate because if everybody is impure, they're supposed to do Pesach Rishon. They do the regular first Korban Pesach. Or alternatively, it's that he added a month to the calendar in order to give them a chance to all purify themselves before Pesach, but he waited too long to add that month. If he had added the month properly, then that would have been part of the old year, and now he would be bringing the Karban in the first month of the new year. The fact that it's called the second month is because he waited too long to add that month, and he added it when Nisan had already begun, the new year had already begun, and so it didn't really work. The bottom line is, two major flaws in the Korban Pesach of King Chizkiyahu. Now, there was another major Korban Pesach that happened a couple of generations later, and that was under King Yoshiyahu. And there, everything went well. It's recorded in Divrei Hayamim Beis, chapter 35, sentences 1 to 18. I'm not going to spend time now going through it because it doesn't really add so much to our understanding, except to be aware that they did manage to right the wrongs of Chizkiyahu's Korban Pesach. It was brought in the first month. There were no problems with preparation and purification, and everything went off very well. Now we get to our Korban Pesach, which is taking place, again, right after the Beis HaMikdash has been dedicated. We started reading it already the other day, and we saw that they did it, Bar Ba'asar, chapter 6, sentence 19, Bar Ba'asar L'Chodesh HaRishon, on the 14th day of the first month. So we got the timing right. And not only that, it said, Ki hitaharu ha-Kohanim v'ha-Levi'im ke'achad kulam tahorim. The Kohanim, the Levi'im, all of them became pure, all of them at once. Also, a difference between the account with Chizkiyahu and here is that the Kohanim and Levi'im are equally strong in it. If you look carefully at the wording in Divrei Hayam about Chizkiyahu, it was not so, but I'm not going to go into that right now. But everybody becomes Tahor, and Veshchatu HaPesach, they shechted the Korban Pesach for everybody, and we are now up to sentence 21. So, Vayochlu b'nei Yisrael hashavim mehagola, the Jews who came back from exile 8 from the Korban Pesach, v'chol hanivdal mitum'as goye ha'aretz aleihem, lidrosh l'Hashem Elokei Yisrael. I brought this in my drasha on Shabbos Chol HaMoed Pesach. They ate, the Jews ate from the Korban Pesach, and so did all those who separated from impurity of the nations of the land to them, lidrosh l'Hashem Elokei Yisrael, to seek Hashem, the God of Israel. In other words, people converted to Judaism. People joined us. That's a really remarkable thing. We've gone from the Samaritan opposition that we read about in chapter 4, although it was unclear exactly when the timing was of that particular campaign that was mentioned in chapter 4. It's clear that the Jews at this point are facing Samaritan opposition, and of course the Persians, Tatanai, giving them trouble. Now, people are actually joining us. The Gemara in Kiddushin, Daf Ayin Amud Aleph, says that there were 10 different groups of Jews, 10 different lineages, and one of them was a group of Gerim, of converts, and they quote the verse here to support the idea that people are joining us. According to that read from the Gemara, these are people who are actually in Persia who joined us. And that's you know, certainly possible. Take a look at Rashi, take a look at Ibn Ezra for some discussion of it. Ibn Ezra also says this could actually refer to Jews who had gone and become idolatrous and now they've changed. Either way, the contrast between Chizkiyahu's problems and where the Jews are today is rather strong. And I would add one other note to that. We said there were two contrasts between what happened in Chizkiyahu's day and now. It's at the right time, and they're all purifying themselves. Here's another contrast between them. If you were to look at the account from Chizkiyahu's time, in Divrei HaYamim Beis, chapter 30, sentences 18 and 19, you find Chizkiyahu davened. This is what he said. His palel Chizkiyahu aleihem lemor Chizkiyahu davened for the Jews who had not made themselves pure, the ones who were identified as lohi teharu, the ones who did not purify themselves. He said, Hashem hatov yechaper ba'ad, the God who is good, God should atone for them. Kol levavo hechin lidrosho elokim Hashem elokei avosav, all of those who decided to seek Hashem, God of his ancestors, velo kitaras hakodesh, but didn't purify himself, so God should forgive them. God should forgive those who wanted to seek him, those who were doresh, they just did it improperly. That's the account there. Here, on the other hand, we're told that everybody did it properly. They all were separated from Tumah. They all separated from impurity. Lidrosh Lashem, Elokei Yisrael, the same phrase, to seek God. So that's a third contrast between them. There, people sought God, but inappropriately. Here, everybody did it properly. Last sentence in the chapter. Vayasu Chag HaMatzos Shivas Yamim Besim Chag Matzos Shivas Yamim Besimcha. They make the holiday of Matzos, what we call Pesach today, 7 days with joy. Ki simcham Hashem, God made them glad. Veheisev lev melech Ashur aleihem lechazek yedehem bimleches beso Elokim Elokei Yisrael. He turned the heart of the king of Assyria to them to strengthen their hands in the work, in the service of the house of God. This, I mentioned a while back, when we talked about what motivated Darius to help us, Hashem is manipulating Darius. Hashem is leading Darius in the right direction. We talked about what Darius thought he was doing, but Hashem is leading Darius in the right direction. Only one catch. I don't know how closely you were listening, but it called Darius not the king of Persia, which he was, but rather the king of Assyria, Melech Ashur. He's not the king of Assyria. He's the king of Persia. Persia conquered the Babylonians, and the Babylonians had conquered the Assyrians. Why is he now known as the king of Assyria? So, three possibilities. Rashi says that actually this isn't talking about Darius. Rashi says this sentence here is adding that there was an Assyrian king who got the Jews in his land to support the Beis HaMikdash. This is difficult. Assyria is long gone as any sort of nation that's going to have a king. Nineveh was sacked, the capital of the Assyrian Empire. Their empire is toast. So that's hard. Ibn Ezra and Malbim say that what it means is the Persian king who was reversing the legacy of the Assyrians. The Assyrians conquered and destroyed northern Israel, and now this king is reversing it, sending us back. The Assyrians harmed us. He's now getting them to support us. So this is perhaps the Persian king who controls Assyria or who is reversing what the Assyrians did. Professor Zer Kavod in the Dat Mikra notes from Herodotus, the Greek historian, he calls the Babylonians Assyrians because they live in the land that had been Assyria. So maybe that's what's going on here. However you slice it, the Jews are now back in our land. We have a complete Beis HaMikdash about 20 to 25 years after Cyrus licensed our return. We are bringing sacrifices. We are celebrating holidays. Things seem to be on the uptick. But an interesting thing has happened in terms of leadership. The leaders are gone. We made a big deal about how Yehoshua ben Yehotzadak the Kohen Gadol was a leader, and how Zerubbabel was part of the Davidic line and could be seen as a quasi-Mashiach figure even, right? But when the letter from Darius comes back and we build and we dedicate and we celebrate Pesach, these last several verses that we've read, there were no names of leaders. What happened to Zerubbabel? What happened to Yehoshua ben Yehozadak? In fact, neither of them is going to show up for the rest of the book of Ezra. So it could just be passage of time. It could be that they died. That's a possibility. Encyclopedia Mikra'it floats the idea that maybe Zerubbabel returned to Babel after building the Beis HaMikdash. It's an interesting idea, but they disappear from the scene. The one who will be on the scene in the beginning of Ezra chapter 7 is going to be Ezra himself. We have made it all this way. We built a Mizbeach, we built a Beis HaMikdash, and now Ezra is going to show up, God willing, tomorrow.